Here's a whopper of a question for you. If you woke up tomorrow morning and picked up the Sun-Times, and the headline was, "Oh, my God, Marburg in Chicago," what would you do?
I'd bolt the doors pretty quick. I would get out a filter mask. I'd put on a pair of glasses because, you know, droplets can get to you right through your, you know, through the mucous membranes in your eyes. And I would probably get out of Chicago.
Get in a car and go.
Well, I would certainly, I would either consider hunkering down and staying where I was and not coming in contact with too many people.
If there was a deliberate spread of Marburg in Chicago, or for that matter, any major U.S. city, you know, with a very dense central population, as our cities have, and it was intentionally spread in places like subways, and I don't know, you can just imagine how horrible it really could be. I for example, here's a question. How long, you might not know the answer to this, how long might Marburg virus last on a surface, typically?
I have no idea what the latency of it, what its capacity is for maintaining viability on a non-living surface.
Then let me try this little scenario on you. Since we apparently this Marburg can be caught through aerosolized a device, if a little airplane flew over Chicago and sprayed Marburg, what are the likely results?
Catastrophic. If this material can be spread by droplet, and I believe, you know, the chances are good that it can, if it was to be spread efficiently, through aerosolization, you know, from a crop dusting plane or some kind of spraying device, you could potentially infect hundreds of thousands of people in the space of a day.
If you were going to test a newer, deadlier version of Marburg with a very, very high
Now, the good news is, there is a caveat to that. The good news is that many of these biologicals are inactivated by sunlight. So if it was sprayed during the day, and it was, you know, any reasonable exposure to you know, high intensity sunlight, that would tend to deactivate the virus.
Well, then they wouldn't spray it during the day.
Well, Well, let's hope they don't spray it ever.
Well, I do hope that, but I think there's reason to be concerned. My question was that if you wanted to test a new, even deadlier form of Marburg, which this certainly is, with the ability to spread through the air, as we now are learning this can, wouldn't you go right back to Africa, where, horrible as it would be, the world would say, oh, yeah, another outbreak in Africa. What else is new?
Well, that is a very sad fact, is that the world doesn't really, you know, the world expects horrors to occur in Africa because they're happening all the time, whether they be civil wars or disease outbreaks or famine or, you know, God only knows what other miseries. And Africa is probably a test bed, certainly a test bed for infectious disease. So could this be another example of it? Well, good question, Art.
How hard would it be for a terrorist to go to this part of Africa and perhaps come up with a blood sample?
Probably not that difficult.
How hard would it be, once you had that blood sample, to culture additional quantities or big quantities of Marburg?
If you had a biological laboratory?
Yes.
And, you know, it wouldn't have to be a terribly sophisticated biological laboratory.
Was going to be my next question. How sophisticated would it have to be?
Well, not, you know, as the World Health Organization said, they sent out their samples to 4,000 laboratories around the world. So there's at least 4,000 laboratories that are capable of handling biological tissue and probably amplifying biological tissues. And that's WHO-approved laboratories. So if you assume that this would not be an approved laboratory, there's probably quite a few more, it would not have to be that sophisticated. It would be certainly within the reach of anyone who had access to standard microbiological technologies, hospitals, technologies. You know, you would not need, this is not Star Wars stuff.
Doctor, once you've,
unfortunately,
once you've contracted Marburg, is there anything that you as a doctor can do to save that person's life? Anything at all?
Well, right now, there's certainly nothing posted by the World Health Organization or the CDC with regard to treatment protocols. So right now there is nothing besides supportive care, and that's not so great. I mean, again, 90% probability of death is not, you know, a good scenario. Now they're talking about, you know, the potential of using some newer antiviral agents, and they're talking about the potential of, you know, of using heparin to inhibit the, you know, the virus eating up all the clotting factors. This is all experimental right now. Nobody knows how to treat this illness.
God. And you would think, I'm sure they're working as hard on that as they can right now. I mean, they obviously know what we know. That'd be enough. You'd have to be working hard.
Well, it's really difficult to say how much resources has been thrown at this problem.
And you also have to wonder if as many resources have been thrown at the problem as have been thrown at perhaps engineering a bigger problem.
Well, we know that that's not the case. I mean, the budget for biological warfare research is what? It's in the billions. Who knows? But you know, I think that online reports were saying that the World Health Organization was seeking $3.5 million to help control the outbreak of this illness. So
I wonder
it's
if
like billions for war and pennies
yes.
for peace.
Yes, I wonder if we've recognized the threat of a potential terrorist getting hold of a sample of this to the degree that if something like this breaks out this deadly, that we've got the whole area surrounded with troops and not allowing that kind of person in, right?
Well, I don't think there is any containment going on right now.